With SDPB News, I'm John Wynn. Governor Kristi Noem has announced she will send $200 million in federal coronavirus relief funds to city and county governments, but she says the economic impact of the pandemic could last for years. The governor visited Sioux Falls to explain that cities and counties can access the funds based on their population. The state has received $1.25 billion from the federal government as part of a relief package aimed at addressing the coronavirus. The governor is still hoping part of the money can be used to make up losses in tax revenue due to the economic downturn. State health officials report 27 new cases of COVID-19 and 2 new deaths. The deaths were residents of Pennington and Minnehaha counties. Both individuals were above the age of 70. 83 people have died so far because of the disease. The total number of positive cases in the state is now 6,353. 5,497 of those cases have recovered. The State Department of Health says 85 people are currently hospitalized. What do you do when a family member is diagnosed with COVID-19? SDPB's Laura Rohde finds out by visiting with a Sioux Falls mother who recently cared for her college-age daughter.
What do you do when your 20-year-old daughter calls crying to let you know she's tested positive for COVID-19? If you're Pam Cole, you pack up your home office and drive to Vermilion.
Children, no matter how old you are, if you're 20 or 30 or 40, if you have your mom or someone that is a caregiver, if they tell you, you know, they're coming to help you, that immediately helps them. So I immediately, you know, my mothering kicked in, and I wanted to make sure that I could spend time with her. I knew immediately that I would be going there to spend time with her in quarantine in case it got worse, because she was living by herself.
Courtney Merchant was tested for COVID-19 after she developed a pounding sinus headache, low-grade fever, and extreme fatigue. When the nurse explained the results to her over the phone, the University of South Dakota junior says her first reaction was fear.
I think it's kind of a human nature thing that when you talk so much about something that's pretty scary for a lot of people and might not be as scary for you, it feels different when you have it rather than when you see it on the news or, you know, people talk about it. So I was just kind of scared. I was feeling really alone. I'm in Vermilion, almost alone. I do have my cat.
Courtney says, although she was scared, she assumed because she was young and healthy, she would be okay. She was more concerned for her mom's safety.
I was worried that someone like my mom, who is 52, and still, you know, she's healthy, but there are a lot of factors that come in that we may not know about. So we decided that we were going to be really careful. She would sleep in a separate bedroom on the other side of the apartment, and we would wear masks when we're around each other. So if I came into the kitchen to get food or to watch TV or something like that, I would wear a mask, and she would most likely also wear a mask.
In addition to mask wearing and social distancing, Pam also frequently disinfected all shared apartment surfaces. Their plan worked. After caring for Courtney for 8 days, Pam returned to Sioux Falls and was tested. She received the news of a negative result a few days before this interview.
You know, I think that the message here is that, yes, we need to continue to be careful. I mean, I guess it's a choice when you go out in a public place to not wear a mask, but you're protecting yourself if you do have a mask on to a certain degree. And certainly if you're a carrier and you don't know it yet, then you're protecting everyone else you're around.
The chief medical officer for Avera Medical Group is Dr. Kevin Post. He says more and more evidence shows mask wearing helps prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Yeah, so in general, you know, masking is showing more and more to reduce the rates of transmission. I don't want to give you an exact number because that keeps changing, but it's a significant drop in transmission and the value of it. And I think a good way to think about it is you're not just doing it to protect yourself, you're also doing it to protect others. Who may be more vulnerable, may have high-risk medical conditions.
Dr. Post says even homemade masks offer protection. He offers some best practices.
So there can be respiratory droplets that that hit the front of your mask, but they can still have active virus in them. So that's why you don't want to touch the front of your mask while you're taking it off.
Dr. Post says to stay safe, only touch the ties of the mask that go behind the head or ears and store the mask with its exterior face down on a napkin or towel. He also says if you're caring for a friend or family member with COVID-19, it's important to monitor your own symptoms.
This is so key. If you are taking care of a close family member with COVID, be very careful in what you're doing with others, that you aren't exposing others, because you don't really know if you could be in a pre-symptomatic stage where you have contracted it, but you're not yet showing symptoms where you could be passing on to someone else.
USD student Courtney Merchant isn't sure how she contracted COVID-19. She says she was being careful, washing her hands, social distancing, and wearing a mask when she was in public. Now that the State Department of Health says she is free to quit quarantine, Courtney says she will remain careful and continue to show care for others. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lura Rohde.
It started with a small garden at an acreage near Garrettson in southeast South Dakota. A doctor and her family have gradually created a sustainable lifestyle, living off the land and sharing that lifestyle with others. Visitors are not only welcome, they're encouraged to get their hands dirty and learn how to do it themselves. Tom Hansen has the story.
Get out of your vehicle at this farm near Garrettson, and chances are you'll get a warm and fuzzy welcome. Dr. Beth Jensen and her family adopted these orphan lambs. They're just a few of the dozens of animals on the farm and are part of a program created by the Jensens called Glean for Good. Glean means leftover crops.
Yeah, this is where we collect our eggs.
The Jensens are living off the land, doing everything from growing vegetables to making their own maple syrup.
This vision started out like literally as seeds and saplings and has grown into something which there's a place to come experience this kind of life out here, and has become a teaching ground so that especially the generation of my own kids are able to come out and see that they can do that for themselves.
The idea was born out of a doctor's concern for the health and well-being of her patients. She now lives a lifestyle she can share.
Gradually, at a pace that we can keep up with, has allowed us to have this more sustainable lifestyle and has allowed us to be outside more, be more physically active, be more connected with our own family, our immediate family, but also within the community.
Jensen says reaching out to kids is especially rewarding. They get to see, smell, feel, and hear animals like Tank, the Coonie Coonie pig.
And then, yeah, the kids love to eat off of. So sometimes if I dump the food and it lands on top of Tank, then the kids will jump right on him. But they all get along so well. It's just kind of a miracle.
Before the pandemic, Jensen welcomed groups of children roaming the grounds and meeting the animals.
Oh, yeah, you want to go climb that mulberry bush and pick some berries? Go ahead. You want to go chase around the lambs around the house a couple times? That's fine. There's really no way for them to get into much trouble out here, and that's by design.
Because of COVID-19, the extensive tours are on hold. So Dr. Beth is taking Glean for Good into people's homes over the internet via Zoom. During a scheduled Glean screen session, as she calls it, classes, groups, and gatherings of all sizes get up close and personal with the animals, like Ginger, the llama. She's the farm's most popular animal.
Nice. So what's her personality like? Who is Ginger?
So Ginger is, in general, she's pretty shy. But once we catch her, she loves the camera.
Virtual tours are about learning, but also having fun.
I also have really enjoyed just trying to customize the experience so that the animals are maybe doing something, wearing something, that's especially fun. I don't know if you noticed, but one of our lambs is wearing a PBS shirt. I don't think he came up to me. Let's see here. So, but you know, to just kind of discover these fun little things. And yeah, are you a friend of public broadcasting? Look at you. But we would love to really open this up to the rest of the world. And so I just, if nothing else, I just want people to know we have a sense of humor about it. We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we really hope that people just want to be a part of this with us. And yeah, that's it.
Those are the stories from today. Be sure to follow SDPB News on Twitter and Facebook, and check out sdpb.org to read up on all of our news and politics coverage. Be sure to share this podcast with your friends. Together we can make a more civically engaged South Dakota. From the entire SDPB journalism team, I'm Josh Heyer. Thank you for listening.